Are you weighed down by a load you're carrying? Are you living under the crushing weight of shame? Our guest today on Chris Fabry Live says God does not want you to stay where you are. You don't have to carry that load anymore. If you are undone by some of the choices of your life, by the mistakes you may have made, by something that somebody else has done to you, done against you, or just the struggles in your past that have led you to live under the weight of shame, you can find freedom. And we're going to talk about that today at the Radio Backyard Fence. I want you to think about the shame you carry. This may get a little uncomfortable because the way many of us deal with shame is to try not to think about it. Just move on and do something else. Why does shame have such a hold on us? Why do we go there so often? Scarlett Hiltabeitel will join us to give encouragement from the lives of several people in the Bible who dealt with shame. And the good news is Jesus dealt with our shame at the cross. Let's talk about it here on Chris Fabry Live, online, chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks to Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trish is our producer today. Anthony will be answering your calls. I've been reading Psalm 23 all my life, and I'm just now understanding what a sheep I am. Oh, what a sheep I am. And what that means, that I'm a sheep. Sheep get weighed down by dirty wool that mats and clings and hangs heavy. It's kind of like shame. And the good shepherd knows how to lead his sheep to quiet pastures, to still waters, and knows when it's time to relieve that sheep of the burden of its wool. Philip Keller wrote, "A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 more than 50 years ago. It is just as powerful today, and maybe more so than it was when it was first published. If you reach out today and support us with a gift, I want to send you this timeless classic. It's hardcover, beautifully illustrated, and it's such an encouragement for any weary heart, for any sheep like me, or maybe there's somebody you know who needs to read this. Call or click through today. The easiest way to give is to go to chrisfabrylive.org, but you can also call 866-95-FABRY. We have about a week and a day left in April. Thanks for being a backfence friend or partner. ChrisFabryLive.org or 866-953-2279. I have been working on saying Scarlett's name for a couple of weeks now. It's a small business. I have Hiltabeitel. Scarlett Hiltabeitel is an author and speaker. She wrote Afraid of All the Things, Tornadoes, Cancer, Adoption, and Other Stuff You Need the Gospel For. You're the Worst Person in the World, and others, including the Bible studies, Anxious, and the one we'll talk about today, Ashamed. She writes regularly for Parent Life Magazine, Home Life Magazine. She reads Truth. She and her husband live in Tennessee with their three daughters. Scarlett Hiltabeitel, welcome to the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You are so good at saying my last name.
I've been working on it. Now, I have to ask you, what was your maiden name?
Well, my maiden name since I was 8 and adopted by my adoptive father was Wessel, much easier than Hiltabeitel. So, you know, it's okay.
It's so much easier to say Scarlett Wessel.
I know, but people used to say Scarlet Weasel, so that wasn't very fun.
Hiltabeitel. Okay, and so it's got only I's and A and an A in there, Hiltibeidal. So that's going to be on the test at the end of the program.
yes.
You've written two Bible studies, Anxious and Ashamed. And as I looked at, I've been going through Ashamed, I think anxiety and shame go hand in hand. They're kind of kissing cousins, aren't they?
I completely agree. And that's why I wrote about them, because I've struggled with both so much throughout my life.
Okay. Tell me about that. Go to anxiety. When you say anxiety and that you've struggled with it, what does that mean?
Well, you know, there's the surface level. We live in a scary world. You know, since I was little, I was afraid of everything, tornadoes, whatever. But as a Christian growing up in the church, I had this spiritual anxiety I carried with me for a really long time. Years and years. You know, I was learning about Jesus as a child, but, you know, didn't have the life experience to fully grasp what walking with him in abundant life meant. So I would, you know, hear sermons where Jesus would say, you know, you did all these things in my name, depart from me, I never knew you. And as a striving perfectionist, earnest, you know, 14-year-old who had just given her life to Jesus, I would think, oh no, what if I'm not doing my Christianity well enough? And so, you know, this striving would kind of turn to shame over every failure. And rather than resting in the finished work of Jesus, I would be memorizing Bible verses about that grace and mercy, and yet living like I had to prove something and earn his love. And so, you know, I had the anxiety and the shame all the time.
Yes. Isn't that our main problem, I think, in the Christian life, is overcoming the disbelief in our lives that God really meant what he said when he said, when Jesus said, it is finished, that he did the ultimate act that we could never do for ourselves, and to trust that rather than trust ourselves.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think it's so hard also as you begin walking with Jesus and see, you know, you start being convicted by the Holy Spirit when you sin. And so there's kind of this thing that can creep in where you can think, oh, I've been a Christian for 5, 10, 20, 30 years by now. Shouldn't I have it together by now? And you know, the Lord doesn't promise to make us instantly perfect when we give our lives to him. He just promises to be with us, and that he's forgiven us, and that he's transforming us into his image, you know, one bit at a time. But it's definitely hard when we all struggle with being self-focused. And as soon as you take your eyes off of the cross and put them on your own performance, you're going to be let down.
Yeah. What happened at 14 that made you think this is the way I need to go with my life?
Well, I was raised in churches, and I was also raised in Hollywood. My mom was an actress. And so I had this kind of interesting, strange, you know, exposure to the world, traveling around New York and LA with her. And then I was also sitting in church pews learning about the hope of the world. And so, you know, I always took it seriously. But then I would say when I was 14, kind of the turning point moment, my mom took me to this play about women on death row that this church was putting on. And one of these women got a hold of a Bible. She was a murderer or something, serial killer. And then she realized that she needed Jesus, you know, to save her from her sins. God's holy. She, you know, couldn't pay the price for her sin. So she gave her life to Jesus, led the other women on death row to Jesus. And I just remember at that point in my life, I was trying so hard to be a perfect student and a perfect daughter and a perfect friend, and finding that I couldn't do it as, you know, as hard as I tried. And I just remember being struck by, oh, wow, God can forgive the murderers. You know, surely he can forgive me. And so I just remember it becoming really real and just kind of clicking for the first time when I was 14.
And trusting that then from that day till this, and you have three children, and well, I don't know if I can tell you.
You're allowed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. And there's one on the way in October. I'm so excited. Yes. For you and your husband. So you got this family, you've got these kids who are dealing with everything that they're dealing with. I think your oldest is 13. So I think that the conversation today is going to be really helpful for somebody who's been walking the trail for a while, and this topic of shame keeps coming up, and that's yours truly. I've seen it in my own life. I see how often I go there, and I want to know why. But I also want to know, what's the answer? What's the antidote? And God seems to be telling me that I'm more interested in the process of conforming you to the image of my son. And he's put this finger on that nerve, that shame nerve for me. Let's see what happens in your life when you get a hold of Scarlett Hiltabeitel's book, Fighting Shame with the Word of God, is the subtitle. Ashamed is the Study. It's a 6-session Bible study for your group or for you individually. We have it linked to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Author, speaker, Scarlett Hiltabeitel is joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Ashamed is our featured resource. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information. You'll see it right there. Fighting Shame with the Word of God. It's a 6-session Bible study. And I want to talk about shame. Let me back up and ask you this, because we did a whole program on the power of studying the Bible together. You wouldn't write these studies about different folks in the scripture if you didn't think there was a real power in that. But what is the power of women and men getting together, or a group of women going through a study like this? What happens when you commit to a study like this and actually do it?
Well, yes. I mean, the Bible is God's holy word, and all the things it says about itself that it can do, that it can pierce us and convict us and lead us, and that the Lord can speak to us through it. I hoped those things were true when I was a new Christian. And the longer I've walked with him, I've seen it to be true. Even in, you know, specifically with shame, I think that when you're new to the faith and you're just kind of grabbing at Bible verses, you don't understand what's happening in the context, and you don't really know the character of God yet. So it's so important to study scripture, one, so that you can know God's voice, so that he can communicate with you through it. And also, like you said, to do it in a group setting, because we need each other, and the Lord designed us to be in community together to, you know, help each other and, you know, share our faith and hold each other up when we need it. And so it's been so transformative in my life and helped me so much with all my struggles.
This happened to me as I dipped into this study, because one of the studies is on the Apostle Paul. And I've been going through Acts, you know, after going through John, I've kept on going with after Easter, you know, and the resurrection and then the ascension. I went into Acts, and I'm looking at all these places where Paul goes into the synagogue, and they get, you know, up to a certain point, they listen, and then they get really mad and they throw him out or stone him or, you know, do some terrible things. And I hadn't thought about it until I dipped into your study on that chapter, and that is, when Paul saw the anger of these people against him, what he was doing was seeing a mirror of who he used to be, you know, and such were some of you. He's looking at them, and my thought was, I wonder if the reason why he kept going there was partly that he had compassion for them, for their own hearts, that, you know, his were exactly the same way that theirs were.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love the example of Paul in the Bible. And, you know, I'm sure he found so much pride in being such a zealous Jew. And it was like, you know, he had this encounter with Jesus, and it humbled him and showed him who he really was, you know, in light of who God is. And so I'm sure you're right. And, you know, it's hard as Christians who are living in this world where it's easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. But you know, I think that that's how we're able to love one another in the church. You know, unfortunately, you hear these testimonies of people saying, I just saw a video recently online, it made me so sad, that Christians can tend to be so good to the outsider. But, you know, within Christianity, you see a lot of, you know, fighting and arguing, when the Bible says we're supposed to be known for our love for one another. And so, you know, thinking of Paul and thinking of myself, I think if I can just have the humility to remember every day what God saved me from, just like you said, who Paul used to be, then you can look out at other people with mercy and compassion, because you remember how the Lord's forgiven you.
Right. So you deal with Paul's shame, you deal with Isaiah, the woman at the well, and others. Give me a definition. When you say shame, what are you talking about?
When I think about shame, I think about that feeling when you put your foot in your mouth, or when you have just done something to break a relationship or something in your life, and you just know there's no turning back. My favorite example is Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, in the throne room of God, where he sees God in all of his glory, you know, the train of his robe filling the temple. And his response is, you know, I should be dead. Woe is me. You know, I shouldn't be alive right now. And falling to the floor instantly in humility. And so that's what I think of when I think of shame. It's, we all need to get to that point where we are faced with the reality that we need Jesus, you know? But then I love just a few verses later, when the angel puts a coal to his lips and says, your sins are forgiven, everything about him changes, and he jumps up, and then God says, who will go for me? And no questions asked. He doesn't know how hard the assignment's going to be or what it's, he doesn't say, well, what do you want me to do, God? He just says, here I am, send me. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of you know, the appropriate shame of recognizing our need and our sin, and then what God's forgiveness is able to do in our lives. And we're able to be people who have a purpose, who are not, you know, riddled with fear, and who trust the Lord's plan for our lives and are able to move forward in joy.
And the example of Adam and Eve in the garden as well, you go there at the very beginning, because the what they did was, you know, God said, this is the only thing that I'm telling you not to do, and they do it, and what happens, they hide. And so shame causes us to hide, and I've heard it said that shame says, doesn't say you've done something bad, shame says, I am bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah. So why do you think they hid when they have a good God? Here's the heavenly, the loving Father who's coming after them, and they take off and say, no, I'm going to hide.
That's a good question. You know, it's like, you know, before you've received forgiveness, it's appropriate to that feeling of shame is appropriate. And so yeah, pre-forgiveness, it makes sense. And I think, unfortunately, you know, especially with our culture that's kind of like, do whatever, there's no truth. People can buy into that. And like you said early in the program, we're so good at distracting ourselves from shame. So we can be so good at just like, you know, getting swallowed in Netflix or our phones and not think about it. But it's definitely a healthy thing to be faced with the wrongs that we've done, and also the wrongs, you know, I talk in the book as well about carrying shame based on something that was done to you, which isn't fair. And it's not, it's an awful reality of a broken world, but so many of us carry shame because we've been sinned against. And so, you know, the whole question is how can we have freedom in that? And you just touched on that a few minutes ago too. You know, we need God's word and we need each other to remember the truth.
So that's a double wound. If I've been sinned against, and then I feel shame about what happened back there that wasn't my fault, but somebody did that, then that's a double wound for me, because I stay in that, the shame of the event, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the woman in the well. It's one of the sessions in this Bible study, I talked about her because she kind of experienced all types of shame. Not only, you know, did she have a bunch of husbands and she had shame based on her own sin, but she also had the sin of what had been done against her. She also had cultural shame. You know, she was a Samaritan, and then Jesus comes up and the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. And so, yeah, it's really, I think we all have very complicated pasts and memories and things that we carry around that are really hard. It feels really hard sometimes to release those things to the Lord.
Yeah. Stay with her and answer this. Why do you think that women deal with shame more than men or less than men? Or is there any way to know that?
I don't know. I only have 3 daughters, Chris. I'm about to have a son, so I'll let you know. I don't know. I think we all deal with shame. I think probably it would be safe to say women might struggle a little more because we are so emotionally and relationally wired in general. That's a generalization. Yeah, but it's definitely one of those things where I hadn't thought about it much in my own life until I started studying it. I thought about, okay, I'm definitely anxious. But like you said, it's a very, we don't want to think about our failures and we don't want to think about the big ways we've been failed, you know? Right. And so, I definitely think it's one of those kind of quiet struggles. And I'm sure, I know men carry shame too, but it's probably, you know, maybe not talked about as much.
Exactly. Because of the emotional and the, you know, a lot of men just don't have a whole lot of friends, or they will put them. I think this is one of the reasons why so many men are workaholics, is they put themselves to the task of doing and providing, and they call it good. When they are driven by, if I slow down for even a minute, then I got to deal with this, you know, this thing that I've done or stuff that happened to me way back when. And that's hard to do. It's hard to slow down. But I think a lot of times God will stop you in your tracks and he will provide something to slow you down, in to make you look at the things that are going on in your life. I mean, I have things that happened to me years and years ago, and not even, you know, untoward, just mistakes that I would make. And this mistake, I can still remember this thing that happened when my son was going to a prom or something like that. And this mistake that I was just trying to help, and the dessert fell on the floor, you know, and I cannot let myself off the hook for that. Meaning it keeps coming back to me. I keep thinking about that. What a dummy. You know, why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? And the person who made the dessert never thought a thing about it, you know, but I can't let myself off the hook because of the mistake. And I have I've lived with that for a lot of years. So thank you, Scarlett, for letting me tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. yeah, you know what helped me so much? I shared earlier, I became a Christian when I was 14. But when I was in my early 20s and I was a brand new mom, I was in a room with this woman who shared, a bunch of women were sharing parenting advice. And she was sharing how she, quote, lived the gospel out in her home. And I'll never forget her saying, you know, my goal is not to be the perfect mom and to raise the perfect kids. My goal is always just to point my family to the gospel. Because if I have a good day, it's the Holy Spirit working through me. But if I have a failure, I can still take that failure and I can repent and I can, you know, I can apologize to who I've wronged if I snapped at my child who threw a tantrum, whatever it is. And then I can turn from that sin and say, this is how we turn from our sin and this is why we need Jesus. And that really helped me so much in fighting daily shame and memories, just realizing it's not about my performance. And if I can just remember that all of our lives are just, our whole purpose is to point to the gospel and not for us to be the hero, but to, show our families and show the world that Jesus is the hero. I mean, just hearing that short testimony of this woman, Elizabeth, changed my life.
Yeah. And that litmus test, if there are things in your life that you can't let go of or that keep coming back to you, don't just try to shove those down. Bring those and everything in your life to the cross and the light of the gospel, because you can have a cleansed life and receive the forgiveness that God is offering you, or the freedom that He wants you to walk in. But so many people don't, Scarlett. And let me open the phone lines, 877-548-3675. Do you deal with shame in your life? Have you dealt with shame? How have you done that? Have you walked with others who have helped you? What are the biblical places that you've gone where you've seen, oh, that's where it is? Scarlett has written Ashamed. It's Fighting Shame with the Word of God, a 6-session Bible study. It's our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. Let me get Sandra in here from Miami. Hi, Sandra. Go right ahead.
Hi, Chris. How are you? I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you called and you got on with Scarlett Hiltabeitel.
Yes. Well, actually, Scarlett, I'm calling because I know you, and I was just so thankful to hear that you were well, that, you know, you are married. I know of your marriage. I know of all that stuff because we were together. I am an older person. I'm older than you are, but your younger sister.
Beverly Hills Cafe, right?
I know you from there, but mainly, no, I know you from church, because when the church that we went to, which was New Testament Baptist, eventually you guys moved to another new church, and I went along to that church, and I saw the whole thing that went down with you guys getting married and moving away, and I know your mom, and I know your sister. I don't think your sister graduated from Day Christian, but she went to school with my son. So it was just a good thing to hear of you, you know, that you're well and that everything's so well. Because as sisters in Christ and believers, we know we will always see each other at some point, you know. But to know, you know, that you're on the radio was just a wonderful thing for me.
It's like old home week right there. Sandra, thank you for calling. And I'm glad that you didn't say, you know, Scarlett, I remember when you did this and you're a hypocrite because, you know, there's probably somebody who could make some condemning words to you, bring up all these things from your past and bring shame on you. But there's a voice from the past. What do you think?
Oh my goodness. I remember you, Sandra. Yeah. Wow. Hello. And thank you for the call.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to hear from you if you're dealing with shame in your life, if you deal with it from day to day, if you are struggling in this, and what can we learn from Isaiah? What can we learn from the woman at the well? What can we learn from the Apostle Paul and others? What can we learn from Peter? We haven't even talked about Peter. There is kind of the poster child of shame. We'll talk about him and take your calls at 877-548-3675. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. The website, chrisfabrylive.org. We have a link to the study, the six-session study that Scarlett has put together, Ashamed, Fighting Shame with the Word of God. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information. And I'd love to hear from you or respond on Facebook as well. The number's 877-548-3675. Talking about shame today, how do you get out from under the load that you may be carrying? And I'm thinking of a woman who may be listening right now, a woman who called us moons ago, weeks ago, years ago, or just last week, or the man who did the same, who said, I had an abortion, thought it was a good idea. I thought it would solve the problems. I could just move on with my life, and now I see it so differently. And the shame of that. That's why I mention CareNet each day here in relation to all the topics that we talk about. They walk through some really dark valleys of women who are considering abortion, men who are doing the same, or those who are dealing with a past decision that they've made that they can't get out from under and the weight. And that's why the Church Engagement Initiative is so important for CareNet, because they want your church to be a lifehouse and a lighthouse for life. They've started this program, Making Life Disciples. What if your church could come alongside those who are in the pews next to you, as well as in the surrounding community, and walk alongside those people who are trying to make a decision about this unplanned pregnancy that they're going through? Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. You may see a redemptive step that you can take to show compassion, hope, and help to those who right now are considering abortion. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. Scarlett Hiltabeitel has written the study, Ashamed. Scarlett, let me throw that to you before we continue here. It's a very real and sobering thing that a lot of women and men are dealing with today, that decision that they made back then. What do you say to that person who's listening who says, I have a hard time even talking about it, thinking about it?
Yeah. You know, I would say all believers, all followers of Jesus, we all have those things that we look back on. And I think of the scriptures. I think of Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, I just think it's so important to read and study and memorize and believe that, because we all need Jesus. We all needed Jesus, and we've all failed in so many ways. And the Lord has provided a way of redemption for us. So there's absolutely forgiveness and absolutely freedom, no matter what sins are in our past.
And I hear that an awful lot when people will couch it and say it in terms of, I just need to forgive myself. I want to work on forgiving myself. And I understand that, but I think what they're really saying is, from a Christian perspective, I believe that Jesus paid it all. You know, I believe that he took my sin on the cross, and he's offering me his righteousness. So what I need to do is believe what he said is true. You know, we talked about that a little earlier, to receive that forgiveness and then to walk in it. And that doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to forget, you know, the mistakes that I've made in the past. They're never going to come back to me. What it does mean is when they do come back, you can say to the enemy who wants to accuse you, there's no condemnation here. I'm not condemned for that. Yes, that's a part of my past. That's a part of my history, but I'm not going to live under the weight of that because of what God has done for me. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And you know, this is reminds me of why it's so important that we as Christians love one another and, you know, bring these things into the light in our own community of believers. I can think of times in my own life and how I've learned to walk in freedom is by being loved by other believers. When I had a pastor who used to say to go below the line of shame. And what he meant was share those things, not necessarily, I mean, yes, share those sin struggles you're having right now, but share those things that you're carrying shame over. Because how beautiful is it to look into the face of another human who's also been redeemed and experience, oh my goodness, they're not shocked and horrified and running away. They're looking at me with mercy. And being loved that way by other believers have been some of the most powerful experiences of my life. And that's what we're called to do for each other. And I think that it's way easier to believe that we're forgiven by God when we see that we're forgiven and, you know, understood and not alone with other believers.
Yes. But then when you have the wound, you know, and there's some people who could call in here today and say, I tried to be transparent with others around me and I got slapped upside the head because, you know, and told shame on you for that. So it's, again, there's the double wound that comes there when people don't show that mercy and that grace and that love over something that you really are penitent for.
Yeah, that is such a sad reality. And I've got those stories too, you know, but you know, I think that if we're obedient to not neglect to be together with other believers, I can think of way more positive experiences with sharing my burdens with others. Yes. And of course, it's also very important who you share with. Like if you are carrying something like that, finding a more mature believer who's been walking with the Lord for a while, who you see fruit in their life, you know, that's so important.
Well, and there's the power of community again. Scarlett Hiltabeidl is our guest. Ashamed is the study that she's written, a 6-session Bible study. Gary is in Pullman, Washington. Hi, Gary. Go right ahead.
Hi, Chris and Scarlett. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to say how grateful I am that she's written this book and that how important it is to deal with this issue. I dealt with shame over a sin issue the majority of my life, and I went through a program called Making Peace with Your Past. During that time, and I'll be blunt, the sin issue was sexual promiscuity of all kinds, and I reached a point every time I would have problems with it, then you'd feel ashamed. You'd beat yourself up because you failed God. You failed yourself. I was a perfectionist. So then you'd pile more shame on yourself. And finally, one night after one of our classes, went upstairs into the empty church and was on my knees and at the front of the church. And I just gave it all to Christ, put it at the foot of the cross. And at that moment, I felt such a relief and a weight taken off of me that I had been carrying for so many years. And I just can't imagine that continuing on in my life like that. And I know it does that to other people. And it's just so important for people to deal with this issue and be honest with themselves and understand that you're doing it yourself. If you're a believer, God's already forgiven you. Give Yes. him the burden. Let him carry it.
So, Gary, let me ask you this. So there is that. Somebody's going to be listening and say, okay, so I got to get to Gary's church and do what he did, you know, in the same posture. My guess is the enemy has brought this back up. Since that point, the enemy has brought this back up and has you know, challenged you. You really believe that he's forgiven you of all that stuff. And you've had to continually believe what you believe that night, that God really did forgive you. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. That is a daily struggle with me, especially because I was raised to be a perfectionist. I had to struggle every day that I have to remind myself that I can never be good enough. I cannot and do not need to earn my salvation. It was a gift given to me, and I must hold on to it.
I'm so glad you called, Gary, and thank you for being honest and transparent about what the struggle was. You didn't have to be, but you were, and I really appreciate that. Scarlett, what do you say?
I just think that was the most beautiful example and testimony of the Christian life. Just like you said, Gary, you know, reminding yourself daily that the gift of salvation is a gift, and we do have to fight to remember that, but I just think that was such a beautiful testimony. That's all of our story.
And I think this is one of the reasons why people are so hard on others, is that they I don't want to get too psychological here, but they're so hard on themselves and they continually beat themselves up for all of this that it leaks out on others. When if you receive the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God, when you've tasted that and you know what that feels like and you know what the load, you know, that you don't carry anymore feels like, you want to give that to other people as well. So we'll continue. I promise we'll get to the Apostle Peter when we come back. Scarlett Hiltebeitel is with us today. Ashamed, Fighting Shame with the Word of God is a 6-session Bible study. It's our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. You cannot talk about shame and not bring up Peter and what happened to him, and we're going to do that right now. Scarlett Hiltebeitel is with us. You don't have to spell her name in order to find this 6-session Bible study that has video access included. I looked that up. It's very easy to find online. Ashamed, Fighting Shame with the Word of God. Peter is always, you know, no, Lord, don't just wash my feet, all of me. You know, he's all in. He's jumping in, you know, walking on the water. He's always just so impetuous. I just love Peter. And, you know, I'll never betray you. Three times, Jesus says, three times. And then the rooster crows and you just feel it. And every time Peter wakes up in the morning, he hears a rooster crowing, and you think that's a trigger for him. He remembers what he did, but Peter didn't stay there. Tell me about why you included him.
Oh, I love that. The rooster crow thing. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. I love the example of Peter. I identify most with Peter when I think about shame, because all of his failures are recorded in scripture happened after he'd followed Jesus. And because I came to the Lord at an early age, you know, I think of most of my failures that I've racked up happened when I was already a believer. And so I think it can be hard when you're a Christian, you say, you know, it's easy to look at my before Christ and be like, okay, that's forgiven. But it's harder to look back at, oh, I should have, like you said earlier, like I should have known better. I shouldn't have done that. I love the example of Peter. My favorite thing about Peter, it's just like you said with the rooster, that must have been a trigger. I hadn't even thought about this before studying it, but I learned that charcoal fires are only mentioned 2 times in scripture. And forgive me if I'm saying this wrong. I'm looking at it in my book, but it's been a while since I looked at it. But I believe the first time in scripture a charcoal fire is mentioned is when Peter denies Jesus. And so, you know, he hears the rooster crow thinking of his failures, but imagine the smell of a charcoal fire, you know, like
yes.
His probably most shameful moment. And so then later on, when Jesus comes back from the dead and reinstates him and forgives him and, you know, uses him to build the church, there's a charcoal fire mentioned. And I just love that because, you know, the Lord made our bodies, and science tells us that smell and memory and emotion are closely tied together. We know that from experience, but it's proven by science too. And just that little detail, it's like God allowed the scent that was probably such a sad, dark reminder of his past failures to be present during his redemption moment. And so, I remember when I learned that, I just thought that was the coolest thing. And the Lord is so kind, and the Lord built his church through Peter, who is a, messes up just like we do.
Exactly. And then later on it happens too, because he's showing favoritism, one thing and another. But God is so kind and so generous and so gracious. There's an anonymous caller who called, and I have to read this to you, Scarlett, because I think this is exactly what, kind of what we're talking about. You know, what do I do with the shame that I feel? A few years ago, I thought there was a mistake on my payroll. I got higher pay than I should have. Now, this is a few years ago, but I had a lot going on at the time. I didn't say anything. I was reading this book and I feel convicted to bring this up to the company. I feel guilty and a coward. I just feel ashamed. I want to be an ambassador for Christ and I feel like I'm not. So as I'm reading that, and I'll give you a moment to process it here, as I'm reading that, it's like there is a conviction here. And the problem is the quote unquote years that have gone. You know, if like it happened yesterday and you made a phone call, you wouldn't feel this way. But you had a lot going on. You didn't say anything. And now it's been years. And now you're going to look really, you know, they're going to think I absconded this or whatever. And I should have said something back there. It's like, yeah. And so you can, I'll just forget this. I'll just shove this under the rug and not think about it anymore. And the more you do that, the more it kind of pops up. And the enemy says you're, so what would you say to that anonymous caller?
Wow. I would say, you know, there are consequences to our sin and you just have to come back to, you know, if we really are living this life and the purpose of this life is to point to Jesus and view him and point to him as the hero, not ourselves, then I think it's an act of obedience and worship to do what's right, even when it's embarrassing or even when it makes you look bad. And I think it would be a really difficult call to make, but also a very beautiful, decision that who knows, you know, what would come from that, you know, to whoever's receiving that call, like what a powerful testimony of, you know, a Christian walking in repentance. You know, who knows if the person at the company is a believer, but what a powerful thing could happen. And also then your conscience will be, you know, cleared and you won't have that feeling of shame anymore.
Well, I'm thinking of the person in finance, you know, who's sitting down across and whose mouth drops open and says, this is the first time anybody ever said, you know, anything like that to me. But you couch it in the terms of this has been bothering me for a long time. And I feel so bad about this. But here's what happened. I'm willing to make up the difference or, you know, whatever needs to happen here, or even with interest. I have no idea how much money it is. But just to be able to get that off the books, and my guess is there's going to be grace and there's going to be mercy from the company rather than a vindictive pink slip, you know, or that kind of thing. Yeah. But I hope that helps you. Anonymous, I hope that helps you. And if you do that, I want you to call us and let us know what happens down the road, because that's a really good shame story for our conversation here today. One more in Indiana. John, go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've called many times, but I'm not going to waste time talking about that. I got through. Yahoo. I was asked, where does shame come in? Come on now. Where does shame come in to this picture of why I called? I'm a four-time loser, is what the world would call me. Meaning, I've been to prison four times. So worth, I really didn't feel any worth. The only worth I felt was when I was mean and evil, that was what my dad was mean, and that was the only way I could get approval from him. So I was mean to impress my earthly father. But, and one year he got me a bumper sticker that said, evil, mean, wicked, and nasty. And that was my prized possession for a long time. I never thought Jesus would forgive me after all the things that I've done. And I heard over and over and over throughout my life that no matter what you've done, he will forgive you. So I tested him on it, and I've since become involved in the county that I live in, Madison County. I've since become a chaplain in a chaplaincy program. And I John, see God using me. We started out, when I first started out, we had two visitors, and this week we have 15. So I see God using me, and it's because I can relate to these guys.
Well, here's the other thing, John, is the wound, we've talked about this, Scarlett, before on this program, and that is, the wound that God gives you is the place of healing for your own heart, but it can be life for others. And that's what John is talking about with being the chaplain there in this place that he's been in himself four times and he's going back there. The anxiety that you have dealt with, that now you've written about, the shame that you have dealt with, is a place of healing. And so anything you want to say to John, Scarlett?
What a beautiful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, Ashamed is the book. It's the 6-session Bible study with video access included by Scarlett Hiltebeitel. Yay, I got it right all hour long. Ashamed, Fighting Shame with the Word of God. Scarlett, thanks for being with us. God bless you, friend.
You too. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening today. Come on back if you have adopted children or you're thinking about adopting children. I want you to listen to Dr. Laurel Shaler tomorrow. We're going to talk about adoption and the 5 love languages right here on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.